This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
I don't believe this. I mean, I'm looking at this stat here about Christmas shopping, and It says that you will typically, during your Christmas shopping experience, the average American will be pushed or shoved three times and elbowed three times on average.
I can see that. How can I not see that? Do you think it's too low?
No, I've joked about pushing and shoving and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've never been shoved at a store.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shoved or elbowed? No, not once in my
Maybe
entire life.
You're thinking of it too aggressively. Like just shoved, like, okay, I kind of knocked into you with my cart or something. I mean, it's busy and a lot going on in stores.
I don't know where everybody's shopping. I don't know where
Do
this
you
is
not
going.
Shop at Walmart?
Is that where they push and shove?
I'll tell you something. That number seems a little low for what I've been going through.
maybe you're the one doing all the shoving.
That's possible.
Maybe it's just... Oh, I looked at this stat a little more closely. It says that the typical American will be shoved by Sherry at least three times during the holiday season.
That sounds about right.
Okay, that makes sense. Sorry, I misread it at first. Yeah, I'm not buying this. This study says you'll be pushed or shoved three times on average during the Christmas season. Sherry does. She's like, yeah, I get shoved all the time.
That makes sense to me, yeah.
Go to the store, get pushed around.
It's hustle and bustle. It's not like someone's coming out of nowhere like a linebacker and just flattening you in the aisle. It just happens by...
I just don't remember everything. Yeah. the thing that gets me, and my wife doesn't like it when I get sarcastic about it.
Okay.
But like you go to like the fashion store or whatever, mm-hmm. they have the clothes and they got the club music going on and it sounds like this. Let me see if I got the right music. Something like this. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And they got it so loud that you can't hear anything. And I'm like, hey, do you have this shirt in medium? I'm like, why does it have to be so loud? I can't ever understand that.
And it's loud for you, but I guess they've acquiesced to it because they're never yelling. It's just us.
No, they can be bopping over like it's a big party. Like it's not.
I can't hear you.
Kid in my youth group, I thought it was so funny back in the day when I was a youth pastor. He's like, yeah, I go to the store at the mall and it's like this big party.
Uh-huh.
And I'll buy something and I get home and it's just a shirt. He was genuinely like, gets swept up in the party atmosphere and he gets home like,
this is nothing but a shirt.
This isn't a bunch of friends. This is just.
This isn't a bunch of friends. This isn't a social
party.
Life.
What have I got? What has happened? Like, what an existential experience. He's asking these deep questions. A lot of people traveling for Christmas and stuff, getting on airplanes and whatnot. Great observation from a friend of mine who's a mom. They have three kids.
Okay.
They're on a plane. It was nothing but turbulence, like cross country. They just got so tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like putting out her arm, doing the mom thing, like in the car where you try to brace your kids.
Right.
Like, and then she's asking herself, like, if we're crashing, what good?
It's nothing, really.
What am I really doing
here? At least
here?
You know you tried.
You'll be okay, kids. But she also noticed, she drew a lesson from this because her daughter was like, oh, this is fun. It was like a... Just going up and down.
Okay.
Felt to her like an amusement park ride.
Right.
She said, you know what? That's probably the best attitude. Because I'm not in control. I don't control it. It's an illusion that I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how life is as a parent. Or just in general. You go through stuff. A lot of stuff you just do not control. You think you can.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot decide against, let me get heavy here, cancer.
Right.
You cannot decide against a lot of this stuff. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have control over it. Now, if you're somebody who trusts the pilot, you genuinely trust that what's happening there is going to be good, that he's got the big picture, that he actually does love you, there becomes a point where it's like, well, hey, what's next? I can handle it. Movie coming out called The Librarians.
It's actually a TV show.
Whatever. And I don't know all the ins and outs of all this pop culture stuff. I don't
right.
get it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they're doing a show, and it's all about the librarians that are, I guess they're hip and cool. And
they are. They look hip and cool in this poster.
I hate this.
Why?
I hate it because...
You haven't even, have you seen the previews of it or anything?
No. But I don't like the idea of it. As somebody who's been a librarian, I was president of the Student Librarians Association in high school.
Yes, you are. Okay.
You can't glam it up like that because...
It's hard work in the trenches.
I thought that's what it was going to be like. Where we'd be like going after artifacts and stuff with guns. There was none of that.
That's why you signed up.
No ladies were like, oh, he's the president of the Illinois Student Librarians Association. But they, I thought they would be.
Oh, they weren't impressed with it at all.
No, so for them to put it in this light is not accurate. It's not true. It's not the way it goes down. And it's just going to raise the hopes of a generation of guys like me.
Thanks.
I think that you won't just be left in the audiovisual room editing video of the library banquet. I don't like
it's the false hopes that you have a problem with.
Yeah, it's what I don't like.
Got it.
It's going to be pretty awesome in just moments. We are going to have someone try to save an entire planet on this program.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every awesome movie, every reality show you've ever seen rolled into one. The stakes are high. Other radio shows give away whatever.
A car.
Nobody cares about. No, they don't.
Somebody cares
about
that.
No, they don't. Anyway, something nobody likes.
Okay.
But we have high stakes. Think we are on an awesome spaceship and we are looking at a planet. Mm-hmm. Someone will have to answer a question. If they get it right, they save the planet. If they get it wrong, the planet blows up right in front of us. How awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Is this show. This show
that's what we're asking
is incredible.
You.
It is so good. Mike, you're there. You're ready for the question. I have it ready for you. High stakes.
All right.
The sum total on average of the amount of time a Christmas shopper will be in line. This is over the course of the Christmas season. So, like, you'll be in line a total of X number of minutes on average. Is it 15 minutes, 60 minutes, or 90 minutes? 15, 60, or 90 over the course of Christmas shopping. And if you get this right, you have saved a planet. You will be hailed as the planet's king. If you get it wrong, you will live with this the rest of your life.
I would say 90 minutes.
Go with 90. The correct answer for all these aliens is 90.
You got it, dude!
All right!
That's amazing.
Wow!
They're throwing you quite the parade right now.
They are hailing you.
They should.
And they're a little daunted by your attitude, but they feel that you're still a worthy king, if a bit prideful, and they are carrying you into the ceremonial whatever.
It's fantastic to watch.
Woo. I know how this is going to go down. People are going to think I'm nuts. That's okay. But I'd like to suggest, with some trepidation, that maybe you don't need to be as busy as you are. Seriously. Somebody said, I think it was C.S. Lewis, said this originally. He said a lot of people are busy because they're lazy. Meaning, here's what he means. We let other people determine what matters, what has value, what we have to be striving for in life. And then we become a slave to that. So it's like, well, I have to have this kind of car, I have to have this kind of lifestyle. We're supposed to be in these sports. We're supposed to be doing this with school. We're supposed to be living in this kind of house.
That's true.
We're supposed to be doing this at church. We're supposed to be involved with that. And this, and you wind up being incredibly busy because you didn't pause to go, what am I really trying to do in life?
Mm.
What is this all about? Don't I want to leave myself some margin? Some margin? Now, some people, like, it's unavoidable. You got toddlers, for instance. That's a busy time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a season. A lot of people, though, honestly, we're busy just because that's just what you're supposed to do. And we haven't actually stopped and thought, oh, wait a second, I want to be able to think. I want to have some margin. I want to be able to be aware of other people. Just want to throw that out there. I know it's crazy. It sounds awful. I tweeted something about it. I'm sure everybody was like, he's nuts, but
and we're not saying that's wrong.
Right,
we're just saying this is something to think about.
We want you to know why I'm not. It's this. It's exactly this kind of thing you can pinpoint. Yeah, there is something else going on with the busyness thing. Like, and it is a national sickness, being busy, 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 busy all the time. Mm-hmm. There's something else going on, and very few people admit to this, but there is some vanity that happens there where it's like, we think we're important if we're busy.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us justification for our lives. Like, well, see, I've got all this going on and that going on. See. There is something to do with that. In getting our importance out of the stuff that we do rather than who we are because of who God is. Like, he loves us. So that makes you incredibly valuable and incredibly important. But if you don't really believe it, then you'll try anything else to try to fill that importance. Anything to try to fill that. And I say that from experience. I'm not preaching it. I get it. But there's an extent to which we don't really fully believe it yet. But if we did, we would be finally secure, finally comfortable. We finally think, okay, I don't have to prove anything to anybody. And that makes you a lot less busy when you don't have to prove yourself to anybody. It just, all that stuff, a lot of the stuff that we do is for other people. This is so amazing. Get a load of this. It's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
On the typical computer keyboard that you use, like the one I'm looking at right now, that Sherry types on,
mm-hmm.
10 million organisms are on that keyboard.
10 million?
Microorganisms, 10 million. 7,500 different kinds of organisms. It's like a beautiful little city at the micro level.
What?
If we could see it under a microscope, just complex things are happening.
Germs. There's germs everywhere.
That's a very dismissive term to use.
But that's what it is,
but if
right?
you embrace all... God has created bacteria.
Yes,
a lot of those
has.
Are good bacteria.
A lot of them are not.
But that's not their fault.
And it's not the bacteria's
fault. It's amazing.
Fault.
It's a complex city. That is so incredibly cool.
So what are we supposed to do with this information?
Marvel.
Oh.
And wonder at it. Like, wow.
Okay.
On my keyboard is a whole city of 10 million inhabitants that I can't see.
All right.
That is the neatest thing. Yep, and you're welcome.
I'm marveling.
Yeah. This is just kind of a neat holiday thing that we get to do for you, and that is I will listen to your conflict, whatever you have, and then I will solve it for you.
Hmm.
I just arbitrate, and I offer a very quick answer. That's insightful.
Sometimes the answer is before the person is even done speaking.
Because I don't waste a lot of time listening to all the
ins
whatever.
And outs.
I can get straight to it. That's how they do it. I've seen the professionals on TV
right.
and stuff. They always have a simple, quick answer for stuff. So, Jennifer, you got a problem, conflict?
Well, I would like to purchase a lot more gifts than my husband wants me to. There is that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, no, we're pretty good.
Well,
no,
that's a big problem.
Brad doesn't think you're giving that nearly as much consideration as you
that's
should.
That's way, way big. So,
and how would you solve that,
Brad? Well, I'm wondering if the problem would be as big if I was willing to buy him more gifts.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. Well, I can tell you that we do have this problem in our household. My wife likes to buy more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to do with our backgrounds.
Okay.
And I take a step back and I just look at it objectively and go, well, she's got her experience, I've got mine, and I'm right.
Okay.
I would have to side with your husband and say that he's correct and you should knock it off.
That's an interesting way to analyze that. That's
you're
great.
Welcome.
I'll give that some consideration.
No. You'll stop actually buying you'll stop spinning like a madman.
This is questionable counsel.
That's what'll happen there,
okay.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Solve that.
I'm glad this is free advice.
First time you've ever tried to save money, apparently, Jennifer. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, what about like buying presents for people, like obligatory gifts? Because there's people that you feel like I'm supposed to buy them something, but like really.
Who to get a gift for and who not to get a gift for.
Yep.
That's major.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's major. Brandt?
This is easy. Very easily resolved.
Okay.
Do you like these people?
Well, they're family.
Where is this going?
Okay, they're family. Bake them some lasagna. A baked good can communicate I love you in ways that these other things can't. These modern
Brent,
electronics
is,
or whatever.
What, is she just baking lasagna for everybody then?
Yes. That's what she does.
And do I mail the lasagna?
This is the
worst. Saw the movie Interstellar over the weekend with my wife. Man, that is one long movie.
But I would think it's right up your alley.
Totally.
It has science stuff all through it.
Totally. And I like the theoretical elements of it's about, I mean, since it interfaces with gravity, for instance, and time relativity is fascinating to me. I'm interested. But the irony is I emerged from that movie feeling like I was 12 years older than when I would because it lasted so long. What I think is really interesting as somebody who believes in God, like, this movie celebrates, and I'm not going to do a spoiler for you.
Okay.
But this movie really celebrates science.
Mm-hmm.
It never mentions God.
Okay.
And it looks ultimately to just science to solve our problems in the end. We know we have problems.
and science is going to fix it all.
But then it reverts to some kind of spirituality to help solve it.
But still but void no God. Of God, right? Okay, like, that sounds about right.
Here's the thing about exactly. Mm-hmm. So again, we want to pat ourselves on the back for going, boy, we got mathematics,
mm-hmm.
but it's too cold to ultimately be left with math. Because they want love to matter well beyond mathematics.
Right.
They want it to be quantifiable and all that. But it is love, ultimately, is science. Like, well, no, to be spiritual without someone to be spiritual with doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
There is a spirit. And maybe there is intelligence beyond us. And it's exactly what we're looking for. But that's the thing that gets me is like, we humans are so lonely for something else in the universe, but we'll turn away from...
Well, we won't humble ourselves, right?
Exactly. It's what it seems like.
Mm.
And it hurts. And I don't look at that and get angry about it, but just like, man, we're lonely.
Mm.
How about acknowledging that the very thing we're so yearning for is alive and he actually loves us? The other big movie that's coming out, and it's like going to be huge, I think, is Exodus. It's the movie about Moses and stuff. It's Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's out on the 15th. Seeing the trailer, the longer trailer at the movie theater. Again, we talked about this before. Moses was 80 when this happened.
He was fragile. He had a speech impediment. I mean, just...
Which kills me because what I picked up from this trailer was there's this speech where you hear Moses like firing up his people.
Right.
And it's like Braveheart.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and we will stand and we will blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, that's really getting me pumped. And we will do this. And like, because God is on our... Like, but this is a guy who is 80 with a speech impediment.
Right.
Why can't they represent that truly? Why not? I realize you're going to take liberties with it. Wouldn't it be a better story, though?
I think so. And God really went out of his way, not just with Moses, but with a lot of the people in the Bible to show us who he picks.
Exactly. He will choose the weak.
Yeah.
But we always want to dress it up and make it look a certain way. And once again, instead of this guy who's timid with a speech impediment, we get... the same character once again. This
Batman.
Bold.
Batman is splitting the sea.
Here's Batman again. Friend of mine named Steve. He's 71 years old and he's super smart dude. He teaches college at a Christian college. He teaches seminary. So he's got seminary students. And he said, you know what? Some days I feel like they should teach me because they have all the answers. They figured it all out. He's like, they know more than I do about everything. And they're sure about everything. And this comes to things about God. They just know it all. They got all the answers. He said as he's grown older, he realizes he knows less and less and less, and he's sure about less and less. That's disturbing for some people. And this guy I look up to a lot from a faith perspective, but he said, you know what? As you get older, you become more sure about God's love. He doesn't doubt that there is a God and that he loves us. But as far as a lot of the other things in life, they're just side issues. And he's not sure about him. And he's learned that you can't put God in a box and you cannot reduce him to a mathematical formula. And as soon as you put him in a box, he will destroy it. As soon as you decide, well, this is how he operates, he'll blow that up. And he said as much, my ways are not yours. You cannot figure it out. So here's this guy who's 71 years old and he's not proud of how much he knows. He just goes, I know this. Jesus loves me and he loves you. Beyond that, I'll just sit and listen. We were just talking about my older friend, and speaking of old people, when he acknowledges he's old. When you get older, you may have noticed this just watching people who are older. A lot of them are really bitter and angry. Like, it's obvious. Just bitterness just rolling off them at the grocery store or something. And then there's these other older people, like, they just exude peace and kindness and sweetness. Well, C.S. Lewis said it's because you tend to become more and more and more a certain way as you get older. Like your behavior now sends you on a certain trajectory, and it may just be a small thing now, but over time you become this caricature of all that stuff. So that bitterness now, you can kind of cover over it a little bit.
And function, but it'll grow.
It grows.
Yeah.
And you become more and more that thing. And C.S. Lewis pointed out, that's why you have to keep little things in check now. You may be like, well, it's just a little bit of anger. Yeah, I have a little bit of anger, but that's... No. You're going to become a cartoon version of this. And relatively soon, it's going to be a couple decades, you become more and more to the point where you just become that. If you're a grumbly person, you wind up just being a grumble. And there's not much left of you that's not a grumble by the time you're an older person. By the same token, as you grow with God and you let Him develop your character, you might become that old person that just exudes other personness. Like somebody who's built for others and is sweet and kind and thinks about other people and is wise. You'll become one or the other, but it depends on how you're checking yourself right now. More Christmas advice for you. This is a service that I offer personally where I will solve whatever problem you have.
I have been stunned.
Haven't you though?
Yes, I have.
Thank you.
I cannot believe what I've heard.
Thank you.
The responses, how quickly you respond, why
yes.
The people are still speaking.
Yep. I have the answers for.
It's almost as if you're not listening.
It happens so fast, doesn't
right,
it?
Right, yeah.
So here's the thing. You can call and leave your Christmas conflict on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just call 855-90-BRANT.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little menu. You choose what you want. 855-90-BRANT. And this is a free service that I offer. You just tell me what your conflict is and I'll fix it.
We're not charging for this.
This guy left this message. Go ahead.
I'm on the road a lot and I don't get to see my family very often, about 4 or 5 months now. And I have a girlfriend as well, and she wants me to spend time with her for the holidays, mm-hmm. but I kind of want to go home. Mm-hmm. So I need a way to either tell her in an understanding way or some way to solve this conflict without hurting anybody's feelings.
Okay.
I can fix
that's
that.
Major. Oh, you can fix that.
Yeah, here's what you do. You write a note, an envelope, said to open on December 26th.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You give it to her. Say, don't open this till the 26th, you promise? And she says, yeah.
This is him with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then you break up with her.
But
then, no. Here's the thing. December 26th, she opens it and it says, ha-ha, just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
We're still together. And that way, for the Christmas holiday, you don't have to worry about it. It's fixed.
Whoever left that message, please, please do not take
fix it.
That advice. That is awful. Do you think any woman would be okay with that?
Fixed it for you, sir. Thank you. And Merry Christmas. Been fun. Been a fun show. Fixing stuff. People's conflicts and stuff. Resolving them. Remember, you can just call and leave a message if you want, like that guy did.
855-90-BRANT.
Yep.
And again, we're not charging for this because we just can't. We can't charge for this.
No. You can't put a price on wisdom. And I appreciate what Sherry's saying.
That's not what I was saying.
It's really true.
I was saying something else.
So, yeah, like that guy. He's like, thank you.
No, he's not. You told him to break up with his girlfriend on Christmas.
But it's a joke.
And give what?
But she'll realize it's a joke.
The breakup's a joke and she'll be okay with that.
Yep.
So, that's some of the worst advice I've ever heard.
855-90-BRANT for some of that.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHanson and on the web @BrantHanson.com.